Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the monthly What Lies in Your Debt Tuesday night call. We are here, and I'm looking for Mr. Jesse. I don't see him on the board yet, but I made it here. And I'm looking for, there's Larry, and I got Terry. Hello, Larry and Terry.
Hello.
Good evening.
And there's Sir John. He just came on. Good evening, Sir John.
How you doing, Dr. Dave?
Well.
Can you hear me?
I'm doing better than I was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
You had the same thing my mom had.
Oh, no. I had something.
What did you have?
I had an incredibly severe UTI, and it started putting me in kidney failure.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
That's super bad.
And they were very concerned that I may end up being a candidate to go on dialysis.
Oh, shit.
But it doesn't look like that's going to happen. I pulled out of things pretty fast. Of course, when you got IVs in both arms and... You know, you're getting five different antibiotics and stuff like that, you know. There's Mr. Jesse.
Sorry, buddy. I didn't know if you wanted me to run the board tonight or not. That's why I ran out here.
Well, I struggled in here. I'm tired. Very honestly, I'm tired. I've had a busy day. I'm trying to get, I'm trying to play recovery.
Yes, you were telling me what was going on. Yep. How you feeling, pal? I haven't talked to you in a couple of days.
Oh, like I said, I'm tired. I had a good, productive day as far as what we talk about, the legal end of things. I had a hearing with the magistrate judge this afternoon, a status hearing regarding the Midland stuff because those cases were split up between two district court judges. And they wanted to know what's going on. They said, you need to go to mediation. Well, we don't need mediation. We have settled. And
nice.
The paperwork is all signed. And I'm just waiting for the proceeds of the settlement. So, and I expect to have that this week. But that's about all I can say about it. There's a tight disclaimer on things, obviously. And so I got that out of the way. But the biggest challenge I have now is my health situation. And that's got a bunch of question marks going forward because I was at the doctor yesterday, and the doctor's talking about wanting to do surgery, and I got to go back for ultrasound on Friday, and I'm going to have a very long list of questions to discuss with the doctor at that point in time. So, anyway, for anybody that doesn't know what's going on, I got horribly sick right at the end of April. I was basically completely out of commission for the month of May. I tried to do some things. This affected my mind greatly. My body was, I won't get into the details because they're gross. And I mean, they're really, really,
yeah, don't need
really
to talk about those for sure.
No, they're really gross. But suffice it to say that I was extremely ill. I couldn't think straight. I couldn't. I could look at a phone number on my caller ID to write it down, and I'd write down the wrong numbers or wouldn't write everything down, and I was purposely looking at that to write it down and take it with me to the hospital. I drove myself to the hospital. Everybody thought I was crazy. I went to one place, and then they wanted to transfer me by ambulance. That's how sick I was. And I said, no, my car's out in the parking lot. I got to go home. I got to get some information, and I'll drive to the hospital, which I did at 11 o'clock at night. And I have some extra equipment on my person as a result of this. So anyway, it hasn't been a good situation. I lost 31 pounds in just over 3 weeks, if that gives you an
wow.
idea how severe this was. So, but I'm alive. And they took samples, they took blood and urine yesterday, and I'll get results on how those look updated. But they were extremely bad. The when I got to the hospital, the kidney function numbers, and I can't remember the terminology, but normal for a man that's supposed to be like 1.1, I was at 6, which is screaming kidney failure, headed for dialysis or worse. But they acted very quickly, and it came down rather rapidly, so I was in the hospital 4 days. Getting out 2 weeks ago tomorrow. But I'm extremely, I get tired easily. I have no stamina. I'm rebuilding it. But the strangest part of my whole situation is what it did to my eating. That may sound really strange, but pain like I was going through, I went through incredible pain for 3 weeks. And it messes with your mind. I didn't want to eat anything. I didn't eat basically any solid food for over 3 weeks. But it's something. Right before the call tonight, I had a hamburger that I cooked on the grill, and I had my fingers crossed. I love stuff cooked on the grill. I always have my entire life. And it tasted wonderful. But I can tell you that I have had other stuff that I like, that I try eating, and it's like, it just doesn't taste good. And I don't know how that's going to change. I think most of you know that I've eaten bacon for breakfast for at least 50 years, every day. I had some bacon yesterday and today, but it's like I can take it or leave it. It's,
wow.
Yeah. That's how much of a change there is. But the hamburger, cheeseburger I had in the grill tonight was extremely good. But I had a 1/4-pound cheeseburger. No bun, no fries, no nothing. And it filled me up. It completely filled me up and satisfied me. That's how much my eating and digestive system has been affected by this. It's become a challenge. I have to make myself eat. Because a lot of times I think about food and it doesn't sound good. That's the way it was while I was sick. So, you know, I've still got a lot of remnants of that I'm carrying with me. But hopefully time is going to adjust that. But anyway, that's what's been going on with me. That's why I wasn't around for the last call. It's going to be a long recovery, at least minimum 6 to 8 weeks. I'll never get back to where I was. I know that already. And then I'm going to be talking to the doctor about potential surgery and go from there. So it's a wonderful day in paradise.
You know, brother, that's all you can do. Well, guys, it is what it is, Dave. I just hope you feel a little better, brother.
Sure. Well, I'm doing better incrementally along. I wash now. To give you an idea, I'm kind of tired. I told you that. I washed 3 cases of water jugs today. I didn't get them filled, but I washed 3 cases. There were days in the past that I washed 6 to 8 cases in a day. And I did 3 cases today. It woofed me out. I did walk to the dumpster and the mailbox. But what used to be a hoppity-hop trip down to the dumpster now is a much slower walk. But 3 weeks ago, I would walk down there, and then I would have to stop and rest. I didn't have the strength to get back. And the day after I got out of the hospital, I had to get a prescription at Sam's. And if anybody is familiar with Sam's, you go in the door, but the pharmacy is all the way at the other end of the store. So I had to trudge through the store and come all the way back out. And I was really kind of doubtful that I was going to make it back to my car. I thought I was going to have to sit down in the parking lot. I didn't think I could go anymore. But I just, you know, you push through things like that. But it was pretty tough. So anyway, enough about me. I'm alive. I'm still kicking. And Jesse and I are going to have lunch day after tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
Cool.
And yeah, it's going to be at In-N-Out. Jesse gets In-N-Out treat.
That's right.
I was just gonna say, make that a cheeseburger.
I'm going to have a cheeseburger tomorrow and fries and a Coke. And I'm sure it'll taste real good. I haven't been to In-N-Out in a very long time, but it's always good when I've gone there. But I was very pleased with what I got in my results tonight. I was literally afraid that it was not going to taste good, and it was going to be like, oh, well, I guess I don't like these anymore. So there's that much of a question mark.
I'm worn out tonight, but for a much better reason.
And your reason is what? And,
yeah, I drove to Helen and kayaked in Chattahoochee all day. I got back about an hour ago.
No wonder you feel good. Yeah, if you were in a kayak today, you were in 7th Heaven.
I was. But I'm tired because the river was really low, and that's a really rocky river. So there's a lot of challenge, you know, and my arms, it was the first trip for the year. And boy, I'm telling you, I'm feeling it.
Yeah, and you'll feel it more tomorrow.
That's okay. Maybe I'll go do the Tacoa tomorrow, which is an easier run. I might do that.
Well, hey, see what the weatherman does to you.
Yeah, wait.
Well,
it was supposed
everybody.
To rain all day, but it didn't. No rain at all.
Yeah. Well, I think we finally got rid of the rain here, but now we're going to get hot. We have been really, really abnormally chilly here in Dallas. But we've had tremendous
amount of
rain. We got to about 86 today, but the next few days we're supposed to be around 91 to 95, which is closer to normal for us. But we've been running in the 70s and 80s all spring. It's been absolutely bizarre, but we've had a lot of rain. We had 3 inches of rain the other night.
Right? It's bizarre here too, Dave. Because this time of year, we never get this kind of weather. For the last 2 weeks, it's been in the 90s, and we don't normally get that up here till like the August, you know.
Yeah. Well, you've been getting our weather, because, well, I tell you what, we've had nothing but clouds for 6 weeks. Some days we were having rain, but we've had, I don't think we've had more than 6, maybe at the most 7. Sunny days in the last 6 to 7 weeks. It's been that crazy with the just drab, cloudy weather and stuff and the cool temperatures. But I finally turned my air conditioning on yesterday because it was getting a little too warm in here. So anyway, you know, if you don't like the weather, wait 5 minutes, it'll change. It is summer.
Right.
Well, legal. let's, you know, we're here to talk about legal stuff. I've already mentioned what's going on with me. My Midland stuff is settled. It was a bad situation with the MDL. A lot of us got screwed. We all got screwed, all of us that were in that.
Absolutely,
got screwed.
Yeah.
But that's the bottom line. There isn't anything you can do about it, and you move on. So hopefully this week I'll have my settlement check, and then I'll be onward and upward to other things. But do any of our other moderators have any good news or anything for us today?
I settled my Midland case, too.
Good. So they're wanting to clear the board.
I'm sure they didn't get nearly as much money as you did, but...
Yeah. They are making it very obvious they want to get the Midland stuff done. But their accounts payable department has been screwing around and not issuing the check right they should.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is nothing new, right?
No big surprise there, Dave.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah, I was a little surprised. I can tell you what I offered them, which was $10,000, which they rejected. I can't give you the final number, but I had, as Dave, you know, a fairly weak case with not a whole ton of phone calls. So I was perfectly fine with the final offer.
Well, good. Well, you know, you're paid, signed, sealed, delivered. You're off and on to other things and all the stuff behind us. And I'll tell you, one of the things I'm really looking forward to, I've got a lot of paper to get rid of here. I'm not saving these documents. They are going in the trash, and I mean, I've got boxes and boxes and boxes and multiple file cabinet drawers full of nothing but Midland.
You can't be hauling that right now, Dave.
No, I'll take it out in increments. You know, I feel better. You know, I'll grab a box and take it out. And I'm going to start cleaning up the files. Yeah. Oh, believe me, I push myself some to, you know, to start rebuilding my body because, you know, my body was consuming itself for a month, so that's why I lost the 31 pounds. And I lost a fair amount of muscle mass and stuff, but it's not like I can't climb the stairs, I can't lift boxes, stuff like that, because I have been. So it's just, you know, like anything else, you got to be sensible and do it in moderation. But the Midland documents got to go, because there's just such a huge mountain of paper there, it's unreal.
Mine was ridiculous, too. Now I was real happy to get rid of it.
Yeah. Well, and now Jesse has got his stuff with his foreclosure all settled. So he's down there in Florida whistling Dixie and enjoying things with that stuff behind him. You know, Larry's got stuff behind him. I've got my stuff behind me. I'll officially when I get my money, but... we go on from there. Now, John, where are you? You got anything upcoming?
Behind me.
Behind you. It's all behind you, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Very good.
You know, when we went to Helen today, well, it was something really weird. At the Cool River Tubing, you can rent their tubes and they'll bus you up and you get in and then you get out of their place. But we have our own, and I have my own kayak. So normally we pay as if we were going to rent their, you know, tubes, and then they take us up on the bus and throw our stuff in the trailer. So we went to do that today. And they said, oh, we don't do that. We said, the hell you don't. You've been doing it for 3 years. Well, we didn't do it last year. Well, yes, you did, because we did it, right? So then this girl looks at us and realized Georgia's totally open. like Florida, and has been for quite a while. And this one girl is wearing a mask, and the only mask in town I saw all day. And she's behind the desk there. And she says, well, we don't do that anymore because of COVID. I looked at her and I said, so you're saying that my boat and our tubes are contagious? That makes
oh
no
my.
Sense at all.
You talk about insanity. Let me tell you about the other side of the pancake, Terry. I was in the hospital for 4 days without a mask. I went to the doctor's office yesterday without a mask, and nobody said boo.
No, because everybody knows now. All of a sudden, everybody's sheeple, man. I mean, if you guys don't get clearly understand this, you know, I know you guys better. And everybody's sheeple. One day you got to wear them, the next day you don't. Okay, we're good. They don't question anything. They just follow rules.
I know.
That's why we are who we are, and they are who they are, and they'll never be us. They'll never stand up to the system. They'll never, you know, they'll never do any of that because they're just compliant monkeys. End of story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's nothing else to explain there. You know,
you're
we're
right,
primates.
Right. Now, when I was
and
at
they
the
absolutely
hospital,
show we're primates.
yeah. When I was at the hospital, the doctors came in, and one of the very first questions they asked me, have you had any shots or vaccinations? And I said, no, the last thing I had was a tetanus booster about 50 years ago.
Exactly.
And they just moved on and went on to all the stuff that we needed to deal with. Never said another word about it. So that's, you know, this is a hospital. And I was in there for 4 days, and I was wheeled out without a mask. And, of course, everybody I saw in the hallways, they had a mask. Everybody
oh,
I saw,
sorry.
Except two guys. There were two other guys at the doctor yesterday that did not have masks. Everybody else did.
Well,
so
you know what? You have to appreciate what Jesse said. And the way I look at it is this. That's how we know who not to bother with. Just get out of our way. We'll take our country back. We don't need your help. They're identifying themselves.
Mm-hmm. Look at me. I'm stupid. I got a vaccination, and I'm still wearing a mask.
Exactly.
Oh, well.
So, and then I don't want to be around people who have been vaccinated if I can help it.
No.
And that
right.
is kind of a dead giveaway if they're still wearing a mask. So I try to stay away from those people.
Yep.
Right.
There's no sense in, you know, intentionally creating risk for yourself where you don't have to.
You know what I think
so.
Is really ironic? There for so long, you couldn't fly without a mask. And some of the airlines decided to do the vaccine passport thing. But now, because of all the deaths, which is a much higher number from the vaccine than it was from any virus, which didn't exist in the first place. They never did isolate it. But now, because of that, the airlines are saying if you were vaccinated, you can't fly.
Right. Yep.
Oh, well.
I'm so glad I don't fly anyway.
Interesting times that we live in. Yeah. Yeah, I don't fly. I'm, you know, I'm not going to have to.
I'm flying tomorrow.
Stuff.
You
yeah,
have fun with that, Jesse.
I don't have a choice.
You're going to be off. You're going to fly into DFW, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yep. Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport.
Man, we need those Scotty Beam Me Up ports.
Okay. Well, let's go out here to debt collector land for a little while and see if we have any people that have either any good news for us, something they want to tell us about that's been going on, or they have questions for us, because, of course, that's why we have these calls, is to answer questions and see if we can help people based on our experience. You know, we talk about our own situations, which we have, but we need to be able to help other people. So if you have a question, hit the one key on the keypad on your phone, and that'll put you in the queue, and then we can go ahead and take your questions. You know, I don't see any hands. I don't see any hands popping. You know, we have a crowd of listeners tonight, and, you know, that's okay. That is okay. There's no problem with that at all, because, you know, we do discuss different things, and sometimes there can be some non-related information that comes out that is beneficial. Maybe it's not debt-related, but it can be beneficial to you. Well, we got somebody here that raised a hand. Let's go to... Well, I'm going to go to the caller. Let's see. We got go to 213. You're unmuted for your question or comment.
Can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you.
Gotcha.
Oh, hi everybody. My name is Carl. Me and my wife,
hi, Carl.
Sandalyn is on, and we have a situation where back in 2010 we filed a bankruptcy. And we had a HELOC that was stripped that we didn't have to pay. And now, after all of this time, a company called Real Time came back about a year ago and threatened to do a second foreclosure on us, saying that we didn't owe them no money, but they wanted interest, their interest in the property, and. We was told in the bankruptcy that we didn't have to pay them. So because we was scared and alarmed, we agreed to go into a prepayment plan with them because they wanted $4,000 up front to reinstate the original payment. So we paid the prepayment amount to bring down the down deposit they wanted. And then back in March, they turned around and said, we're no longer accepting a prepayment plans for this particular account. So they filed a notice of default on us wanting $48,000 to reinstate the loan. So they're trying to foreclose on us from the second position. And we're current on our first. And we're just trying to find out what legal basis do they have to come back off after all this time because the equity has gone up in the property now. So they told us that it looked like we ain't gonna never gonna sell or nothing like that. So they're trying to force us to pay them.
They're trying to steal your property for the equity.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But the biggest question is, in my mind, is are they willing and ready to pay off the first? Because the second cannot foreclose without paying off the first.
Well, they're trying to force the sale.
Yeah, but are they ready to pay off the first? See, I don't know how much equity you have in there. How much do you owe them?
The original HELOC amount was for $38,000. They want interest. They want $73,000.
Yeah, that ain't going to work. But how much do you owe on the first versus what the second is?
On the first, we owe about $350,000.
Okay.
The value of the property is fluctuating right now between 545 and 630. When we initially did the bankruptcy,
78.4 something.
Yeah.
Back that's in what we're trying to do.
Yeah. Back in 2010, the property was upside down. That's why the bankruptcy court stripped it. But I guess we failed to get the lien removed. I don't know. Nobody told us about having the lien taken off. We thought it was a done deal. And then a couple of years ago, they just started harassing us. And then right
before the pandemic. Well, did you look at your bankruptcy to see that? to see if it was taken off or dismissed?
Well, the bankruptcy, the debt was stripped, but the lien was never removed off the property.
Well, if the debt stripped, then the debt is stripped. So they stripped the debt that you owed, right, meaning probably all the past due stuff, okay, and left the current balance is what I'm thinking. You're going to have to look at that yourself. Okay, there's two ways it can go. So they would say, okay, you're past due. I'm telling you because a friend of my wife's, I just helped her through all this stuff earlier this year, and I'm pretty familiar with it. So what they did is she owed, like, you know, say $300,000 extra and penalties and interest on the first, and say $100,000 extra penalties and interest on the second. Well, the bankruptcy court said, you know what, we're going to, if you can finish this program by November of this year, coming up, right, so in a few months, you're only going to have the main principal on the first, and then the second and all its past due balances are going to be wiped. You have nothing left. You have to see what the trustee did, how that was set up. Because they might have done the same thing, and these people might not have the right to come in and do anything, but they're messing with you.
Yeah, because our first is current. We don't have a problem with our first. Matter of fact, we have a modification on the first. We're current. We're current on our first. They're just coming after us. I don't know. It's kind of weird because if that's the case, they could have filed default right after bankruptcy was over. Why they wait 8 years to come after us? You know,
yeah.
I don't get it. And they filed a notice of default back in March, so the time is ticking. I don't know if they're going to be aggressive with trying to go with a sale date at the end of this month or not. That's
well, I guess he said you need to go look at the bankruptcy and see how it was set up.
Yeah,
look carefully.
We'll do that. And they wasn't even the original lender. They got the loan from I don't know if it was Countrywide or SBME. Real Time is not the original people that we
are. Yeah, they're one of the scavengers.
And so they didn't want to go into a modification with us. They didn't want to do anything. They just aggressively just trying to, you know, they just playing hardball with us, seemingly. So we'll go in and I'll look at the bankruptcy stuff and see what it says. But I'm already clear that it was stripped.
Yeah, it was stripped. 2009 and 2010 bankruptcy was stripped. It wasn't removed.
I guess the lien wasn't removed, I guess. Yeah.
But the bankruptcy says it.
Because it was a HELOC.
If it was removed, it's gone then.
And it says Countrywide back then. And they went bankruptcy.
So Real Time is a company that's somewhere in Texas. And we try to talk to them. And this guy, he's working at home due to COVID. So he don't never really come to the phone. And, you know, when we tried to work something out with them, because if we thought if we had to pay, then we don't have no problem paying whatever the original payment was. They only want to do that. You know, they want $73,000 or $48,000 to reinstate the loan.
And they
stopped
taking the payment.
You keep going back.
How are you
going to
reinstate a loan that was stripped?
Yeah.
That's what they do.
Exactly.
Well, they can't do that. That's the point. They can try and do it, but from a legal standpoint, if the loan was stripped, the loan was stripped. Just because somebody's
name
stays on a piece of paper doesn't magically reinstate a loan.
Yeah, they can try to convince you that they can, but that doesn't mean they can.
So why were they able to file notice of default? Why did the court accept their notice of default?
And want to go into foreclosure on us.
Because right now,
if I wanted to, I could probably come and file a notice of default. I may not have any right to do so, but I could probably do it.
The court doesn't know. The court doesn't know the story.
Oh. That's right.
So I probably need to get a real estate attorney to help me then, maybe.
Not a real estate attorney, a foreclosure attorney. Big difference.
Yeah. The court has no idea that these guys are scamming you.
I would sue them myself, but, you know, I'd counter-sue them immediately under the FDCPA and federal courts.
Oh, hell yeah. Oh, you would sue them?
Well, yeah,
oh, yeah,
in federal court.
Well, yeah, we would.
Okay.
Go after them under Fair Debt Collection Practices Act. They took an action they're not legally entitled to take.
Oh, okay. They real sarcastic. They in Texas, and they think that because we here in L.A. and they see the property value right high, they think we over here rich or something, and that ain't the case. They, you know, equity is just air. It ain't like we out here living high on the hog. You know?
Not in California, you're not.
No, still not. We still not.
If you're in California, you're living in the land of oppression.
Exactly.
Right.
All
okay,
of us
so,
that aren't
so
there, all of us that aren't there, we understand that. And by the way, I'm in Dallas, so I, you know.
I escaped California in 1980, and I'm really glad I escaped.
So we need
you need to be doing your investigating.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like Jesse said, you need to dig into that bankruptcy stuff and don't skim the documents. Read every word and think about every word that's in there and what it says and what it means. That's one big mistake that a lot of people make when they look at legal documents. They skim over stuff. They don't really read it and think about what is being said and what's being stated. That's a huge mistake. Look through those documents very carefully.
And when you come to legal terms that you don't understand, Google Black's Law Dictionary, and you can get copies of the PDFs, and the fourth edition is the best because it's the last one that we managed.
Yeah.
So when you come across legal terms that you don't quite get, then look in Black's Law for a good definition of what you're reading.
So basically, after all this time, it's still possible I could get the lien removed.
Of course. The bank
my thought at this point is there is no lien.
That's right. Yeah. Well, there could be a lien.
It's a figment of their imagination.
Yeah, exactly. But you got to prove that it was released in the bankruptcy court. You have to prove that.
Yeah.
It was discharged as a
debtor,
not released.
So they're saying that, the interest is in the property. The property, in other words, the property owes money. That's what they're saying.
And you know what? But you do have to respond to that court, wherever they're filing. You do have to respond because that court doesn't know. You know, you have to respond to the court, wait a minute, you know, this is a high-flying scam here. Bankruptcy happened, blah, blah, blah. Here's the paperwork. There is no lien. They have no right, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, okay. I got you. Okay.
Yeah, because, you know, you can't blame the court. If the court, if you don't speak up and tell the court the real story, the truth of behind what's going on. Otherwise, if you don't, then silence is acquiescence. And the court has to rule, well, you didn't have a problem. You didn't argue it. They must be right.
Oh, okay. So I still have time to argue it then. Okay.
Of course you do.
Okay. All right. I really appreciate that. It makes me feel better.
Well, does that take care of your question?
Dave was right calling them scavengers.
No, yeah.
Yeah. That takes care of my question.
All righty. Well, you have a great evening.
All right.
If you got any more questions? Just so you know, Terry has a call on Thursday nights. I'll make an announcement on how to reach that call on Thursday nights at the end of this call. And then, of course, we have these calls monthly. So.
And I want to say this in case people aren't on the call at the end. But my call this Thursday night, at the beginning of the call, I'm having a guest speaker. Dr. Will Spencer will be on. Haven't had him for quite a while. But he's going to be on, and he's going to talk about the COVID stuff, the vaccine stuff, new discoveries, blah, blah, blah. And then we'll have question and answers, and then we'll get to, you know, the legal stuff after that. So this Thursday night, 8 o'clock, Dr. Spencer will be on as a guest speaker.
On the same, on the same web page?
On the same number?
No.
No. This is a different one. Like I said, at the end of this call, I will make the announcement on how to find, how
okay.
to get to Terry's call.
Okay,
all righty.
Okay.
You have a great evening.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay. Well, if anybody's got a question or a comment, hit the one key on the keypad on the phone. That'll put you in the queue. I don't see any other hands popping up here. And we always stick around as long as we have discussion material. And we have
well, I'm scanning
people
100
to,
pages this evening
help.
As we speak. How much discussion paper work that is.
Oh, yeah. That's,
a lot of
you
fun,
know,
let me tell you.
Scammers galore out there, boy, I tell you what.
Oh, man, they're everywhere.
They are.
Yeah, they do seem
and,
to
and some
double,
of the biggest
yeah.
are government or the government.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're scammers,
true.
You know this.
Yeah.
And ever since all this stuff going on with the TCPA, I mean, I for the longest time, I didn't hardly have any, like, telemarketer calls or nuisance calls on my cell phone. Now it's like 10, 20 a day.
Jeez. Well,
and,
you know,
and they
switched
the number.
Yeah. And I got a call from the Republicans today, and I've stopped all that. That's the first one I've had in quite some time, but just
you know, I get calls from them, and I'm not a Republican. I don't know how I got on their list. You know, I'm not a Democrat
Terry.
Either. But what'd you say, Jesse?
You're famous, Terry.
That must be. I mean, I'm a registered libertarian. I'm not a Republican.
You are now.
Yeah.
Because they say so, right?
Yeah.
That's the way it works.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, man, this is crazy. Dave, I'm just glad to feel you sound a lot more chipper. Even though you're tired, you sound a lot better, buddy. It's really nice to hear
he
a little bit more.
Well, you know, I'll be honest.
For lack of better words, okay?
The spring in his voice.
Well,
yes, ma'am.
It does me good to have the interaction with you guys, you know, because I live by myself, as everybody knows, and I don't have a lot of interaction here. I've got friends that I talk to. In fact, I had one friend that through all of this, he called me every day to make sure I was still alive, and he's my age. In fact, he's just slightly older than I am, and he's
yeah,
got
I thought he was older
sure
than you.
Problem. Yeah, but anyway, I got to call him back afterwards to let him know that things are moving along because it's a matter of you got to have the interaction with people, and that's one of the things that I'm going to have to make some adjustments on, whether I go out and get involved in a group or two, start doing some things, getting out of here, but meeting some other people around here. That's going to be important for me going forward. And there's a number of changes that I need to make. My illness was a real huge wake-up call for me. I mean,
well, yeah.
Yeah.
Bigger than you can imagine. And so anyway, you know, just being on with you guys
Dave,
and interacting, this is getting me more back to the normal, what was normal before.
When you talk to him, tell him I said hi. I haven't talked to him in a long time.
Oh, to Perk?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep, and I saw some other friends that I just met last weekend that picked up some water. They're heading for Wisconsin tomorrow. They picked up water to take up to relatives for a big family reunion and stuff up there. So all the people that have been using the water are doing fantastic, which is great news. So anyway, you know, the interaction, I was really tired before the call, Jesse, very honestly. And
right.
I was thinking, well, I'll, you know, Jesse will probably come on because you and I hadn't talked about whether I was going to be in the call or not. And I thought, well, Jesse will probably come on and take it. And well, I'll kind of lay in the background here. And, well, that's not the way it worked out. And I'm fine with the way it worked out. This
hey,
is
I've
good
done
for me.
Minutes. You know that, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I know you would. I know you would. And this is good for me, the interaction. And kind of getting back in the swing of things is good for me intellectually, psychologically, because I will tell everybody out here, when you get a massive systemic infection, as bad as I had, it affects everything.
Everything.
I mean, my mind, I just went stupid. I did. It affected my mind.
Yeah,
I couldn't think straight.
Day,
I couldn't.
Dave,
I couldn't make decisions. Nothing.
Dave said to me, "You know, it took me an hour to eat this little tiny bowl of what is that stuff?"
Grape
and
nut,
then he said,
"Grape nut cereal."
No, when you said to me, and this is in the middle of how sick he was, he said to me over the phone, "You know that spiky thing that comes from Hawaii?" I said, "You mean pineapple?" And he goes, "Yeah, yeah, that's what it is." I'm like,
I couldn't
oh my
even
God.
Think of the word pineapple. Yeah. And yeah. I write down, I make a specific point of trying to write down numbers to take with me to the hospital so I could contact people and let somebody know where I was. And I'm looking right at the caller ID, and I've got the numbers are very big. They're very plain. It's not microprint or anything. And I sat there and I wrote down the wrong numbers. And then with the one phone number for my friend, Tim, the guy that just called a little bit ago, I didn't even write down the last four digits of his phone number.
The only one he almost got right was mine. And I think it was only off one number. So he figured it out. And then I had to let everybody know, you know, because he was looking right at him, and he even wrote mine wrong, but not
yeah.
real bad wrong.
Well, another really good example of this was, and see, one of the problems that I had with this situation was the fact that I had gotten a new cell phone a while back. I don't like the cell phone that I got. It's a flip phone. It stinks, quite frankly. And it only holds charge for 3 days, which is really bad because my other little Samsung phone, my Midland phone, that would hold a charge for 13, 14 days, even after all these years, and I got that in 2013. But I hadn't put any of the contact information in my cell phone, so I didn't have phone numbers for anybody.
Yep.
And that's why I left the ER that I went to the first place where they, well, let's say they performed a procedure and then they ran me through a CAT scan and then they wanted to transport me to the hospital in an ambulance. And I said, no, I'm going to drive my car. And it was raining cats and dogs outside. Now, I mean, we are talking pouring. And I just walked out to my car, and I just didn't care. I was soaking. I'm walking out to my car. The doctor at the clinic there was going to go out with me and make sure I made it to my car. I said, no, I'm okay. I said, stay in there and stay dry. It's pouring out here. I just didn't care. Yeah. That's the mental part of this stuff. And then I came home. I got rid of some trash that I didn't want sitting in here getting really ripe and nasty. So I walked in the rain down to the dumpster, as bad as I felt. I actually made two trips.
And so you became a blubbering idiot for a little while.
Yeah, so I tried to write down the numbers. But what's really interesting now, when I came back, I got out of the hospital, I start writing these numbers down off my caller ID. Now, you got to appreciate, I learned how to print very legibly and very rapidly in the Army because I learned Morse code. You learn how to print very legibly and very rapidly because you're listening to sounds and you got to be able to get it down on paper. So I've printed everything. I don't write anything but my name, heaven for forever. And I'm writing these numbers down off the caller ID, and this is after I'm out of the hospital. And my printing and the numbers are all perfect. They're all very legible. Anybody could read them, anybody in the world. But I had the other piece of paper that I had taken to the hospital with me that had the stuff in it that I was jotting down or trying to jot down and write before I went to the hospital. And it was like trying to read hieroglyphics. It was illegible. That's where my mind was. My mind wouldn't even let my hand function properly and write something that was legible. That's how screwed up my
And you clearly shouldn't have been driving, Dave.
Well, 30 miles an hour on a three-lane road, 2 miles up where I was at the first clinic was 2 miles south of here, and the hospital that I ended up in is 2 miles north of here, right up Coit Road. I just drove 30 miles an hour the middle lane. I was coherent. I could think. I could see what I was doing there, but as far as the details, I just couldn't do it. I mean, and I didn't realize that until I got back and I looked at what I had done with writing these new phone numbers down, starting to gather this information after I got home. And I looked at that, and I looked at that other piece of paper, and it's nothing but gibberish. No wonder.
Yeah, no wonder I couldn't read it.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's really quite bizarre when you look at it. But that's how much this situation, this illness, massive infection that I had, affected my body, you know, all the way from head to toe. So I never would have had any idea that a infection like that could have that kind of effect on the thought processes. And the pain I went through was, well, for weeks, the longest period of sleep I got was 1 hour. And generally, it was between 40 minutes and an hour. I would wake up in utter pain, and I'd have to wait till that subsided enough. I'd go back to bed just for a respite from the pain. And maybe 45 minutes later, I'd wake up with this just searing pain. And then the searing pain started into my back, and that was where the kidneys were being affected. And this was the pain was in my belly. So it wasn't a fun time, but I survived. I'm alive, but there looks like there's going to be some long-term consequences to it. But just figure that out as time goes on. So, anybody else got any questions or comments? I'm going to – we have one more caller that's thrown a hand up here, so let's go to 630. You're unmuted for your call or your question. Go ahead. 630.
Hi, hello?
Hello. Go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to say I'm a first-time listener. So just wanted to ask a question. I've been having financial issues, and I had to especially during the COVID situation, my husband wasn't able to work, so we weren't able to, you know, pay some of our lines of credit. And I recently received two summons for court. One of them was from Blitzing Games, and I found out that this is a debt collector collecting a debt. And then the second summon that I received was Rosh and Strum. They're the attorney for Galaxy International Purchasing, LLC, and I believe that's also a debt collector collecting a debt. So my question is, I'm kind of working with a like a credit group that's helping me, you know, taking care of these creditors, posting on my you know, my credit report. But since I got these summons, they mentioned to me that I could find like an attorney that may be able to, you know, be like on the defensive side for me, to, you know, go to court, with these two summons and, you know, try not to pay this debt that they're asking for. And, so the company I'm working with, they told me maybe I can call in to you guys tonight and ask if you have any kind of referral, if there is such thing as an attorney or law firm here in Illinois that that does that for clients, or would I have to do this on my own to attend, you know, the court date that they're showing on the information that I was summoned.
Where am I lost?
Somebody want to take that?
Yeah, I don't know. No, because I'm lost. I don't get it. First of all, during COVID, they had to let all your payments slide. So that's what I don't understand, why they're even pressuring you. That was federal law. So that's where I'm kind of just perplexed.
This was like near the tail, like the beginning of COVID. So it kind of started. I started having troubles with our finances due to my husband's mental illness near the end of 2019. And then when 2020 hit, that's when I started having trouble, you know, making the payments.
Well,
nevertheless, you were having trouble before COVID?
Yes, because my husband, I couldn't pay them the payments without my husband's income.
Okay.
Yeah, it makes sense, David, yeah.
Yeah. So what
ended
up happening?
COVID just compounded the problem.
Yes, it did. So my husband, you know, he was diagnosed with a mental illness, depression, anxiety, and taking medication right now. He was an Uber driver, and because of COVID, he just couldn't drive, and we were just scared of him driving, you know,
right,
people, kind of thing. So, you know, he was trying to see if he can find a job that he could actually, you know, work, go into work, but with the mask mandate, with his anxiety, there was just no way. And he also has asthma too on top of that. So I'm the only you know, provider for our family. We were to the point that, you know, luckily, with the struggle, we were able to move into my mother's home. So she was very nice enough to take us in. And, you know, we're slowly getting our, you know, getting our finances here, you know, straightened up. But then, like I said, I got these two summon courts here in DuPage. One of them is not that much, but I was told that I could probably find someone or present myself, you know, when I go to court, that, you know, these debt collectors are collecting this debt that I don't owe them this debt. And I didn't know if that, you know, if that's a thing or not. So that's why I'm calling.
Well, you need more information, but basically, what is the date that you have to respond by?
Right, that's most important.
Okay, so when I'm looking at the first one, it gives a date of the court date of July 9th, and it gives a time like at 8:30 in the morning.
Okay.
I think
go ahead. What was that, Jesse?
I think it sounds like she has to be the hearing. It sounds like to me.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Is it a response to the summons, or is that actually a hearing date that's been set?
It looks like it's a hearing date. It says a summons small claims, the original. And then when I look at this one, because of COVID, they have a Zoom. You can do like a Zoom call for it.
Right.
But then there's a page here that I was looking at. It was saying that I could agree to pay the full amount, you know, of a monthly payment plan.
This is something that the plaintiff that's suing you offered?
Yeah. Well, it shows a page here, installment payment judgment order.
Oh, wait a minute, a payment judgment order. When did you get served on this?
So this one I got served, I want to say, around the last week of May. So it was like, I'm checking.
Okay, so it's
here.
Just within like the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, the last couple of weeks, correct.
Okay. I think she's going to want to put a response in to the court.
Yeah, I think.
With the denials. Wouldn't you guys agree?
Yes.
Just
and,
slow things
and
avoid the default.
And if they're coming after stuff that accrued during COVID, it would be a very good idea to file a complaint with the CFPB.
Okay. File a complaint.
Do you know
now,
what the CFPB is?
That's
the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau.
Right. You Google that. You go to their website, and you'll see on their homepage the COVID stuff, and you're going to click on that, and you're going to go to what they can do and what they can't do because of COVID, and then there will be a link there that you can click to file a complaint. So you can find it just by Googling CF as in Frank, P as in Paul, B as in Boy.
Okay.
Okay, now, quick question here. Let's get some more information. Roughly how much money is involved in that situation, that particular one?
Yeah, so the Bliss and Games one, they're asking for $3,619.74.
Okay, so a little over $3,000. Okay, yeah. That's the one we were just talking about where you got served within the last 2 weeks?
Yes.
And what is the plaintiff's name? Blitz and Gaines is the law firm.
Mm-hmm.
Right. They're not the plaintiff. Who is the plaintiff in the lawsuit?
Discover Bank.
Okay, it's Discover.
Oh, shit.
All right. Okay. All right. Now, got some information for that one. Got a little bit of guidance there. Now, what about the other one, the second one?
The second one was actually a loan from a lending club. And the person
okay,
and
I'm,
the attorney,
I'm not familiar with that, but is that just
a
loan company or what?
Yeah, it's a loan company, Lending Club Corporation. But they were bought out by Galaxy International Purchasing, LLC. That's the plaintiff.
And how much money is involved in that?
This one is $14,659.31.
Okay, so that's a more substantial amount there.
Yeah.
And when were you served on that?
This one I was served the first was June 1st.
June 1st, okay. So both of them are quite,
recent.
You know, you got plenty of time. You got plenty of time.
Okay.
Have you joined the website?
Your website, yes, I did.
Okay. Then what you need to do is go in there and go to the Beating Debt Collectors section and read up on how to respond to a summons so that you can avoid the default. How to there's examples and stuff in there on how to write an answer, and you need to file that answer in a timely manner. You can file a motion to dismiss, but all the information is in there, but it's the beating credit card section.
Beating credit card section, okay.
That'll be the place to get you started. But you're going to want to move forward and make sure that you get that stuff filed with the court before those deadlines.
You don't want to be wasting this valuable time trying to find a consumer lawyer that's going to be good enough to represent you. You need to be proactive on your own.
Okay. While I'm looking for a consumer lawyer?
Well, if you feel comfortable that you're going to be more comfortable finding a good consumer lawyer, then by all means look for him. But don't just do that.
Okay. So I could. So what I'm hearing is I'll just go on the website, your website, and look for how to write an answer that I'm being summoned, and send that letter out based on the examples that's showing on the website.
It's not going to be a letter. Understand, it's not going to be a letter. It's very specifically laid out on what you need to do. You need to look at it carefully, the structure of it, because you got a legal document and you're going to file back into the court with a legal document. So it's not just a letter. The courts don't deal with letters. So you need to pay attention to those. Pay attention to those details in there.
Okay. So I have to look.
And then at the end of the call, when Dave gives the information for my call is every week on Thursday night. So listen for the information so that you can get on my list and get the call info for Thursday.
Okay.
And see, that way you have access to getting answers on this stuff on a weekly basis.
Right.
And of course, one very prudent thing to do is you're going through the website. There's without a doubt going to be some things that you're going to have questions about. You're maybe not quite going to understand something. You're going to have a question about it. Most important thing you can do is write down that question. So when you get on Terry's call on Thursday night, you're not going, I can't remember what that was. I know I was going to ask you about it. Don't put yourself in that position. The other thing is, when you're talking about these things and you're calling in with questions, make sure you have all of these documents related to this stuff in front of you so that if we ask you a question, that you can refer to those documents because that's very, very important, you know, because for us to be able to help you, sometimes we need very specific information.
Okay, got it.
Okay, does this give you a good starting point and a direction?
And be very organized with all your paperwork and your notes. Don't scatter it all over the house or leave it sitting somewhere. Get a folder going, organize. Stay organized. It would be a lot easier.
Yeah, and the other thing is keep these two cases completely separate.
Absolutely.
All your paperwork for each one in a separate file. Don't mix them up, because that'll confuse the daylights out of you.
And it'll get confusing real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, because what I'm confused of, the first one, you know, it has a date when, you know, I would have to go to court with a date and time. But the second one here, in regards to this lending club, it doesn't show a date. All it says that it says within 30 days after service of the summon, not county, the day of service. It doesn't actually give a date when I'm supposed to go to court.
Well, no, it's 30 days after you're served. So if you're served on the 13th and there's 30 days in a month, it'll be the 13th of the following month. It is specific.
So,
it says 30 days.
Okay, so when I got served, so it would be June 1st, so then the appearance would be July 1st?
July 1st. So you need to have your paperwork filed with the court, your answer, denial, whatever you're going to be doing, your motion for enlargement of time to answer, motion to dismiss. You're going to learn about that stuff in the website. And you're going to want to have that filed into the court by about the 25th or 26th. Do not, and I say again, do not wait until the last day. Don't procrastinate and wait till the last day, because you know what happens when you do that? You're on your way to the court and you have a flat tire or you get stuck in traffic and you don't make it there in time. And then you default and then you're in trouble. You never wait till the last day. Okay?
Okay. Okay.
These are all very important key things that we've learned through 10 years of doing this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard people have gone through this on their own. I don't know them personally. So that's why when I ask questions, you know, like on Facebook, for example, I'm not getting a straight answer. So that's why I'm kind of glad that I'm able to join this call and you're able to answer my questions.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can tell you, this week I should be getting a very nice settlement check from a company, and I've been in litigation with them for 7 years.
Oh, wow.
I do this. We all do this ourselves.
Okay,
so,
very good.
There's some experience here. That's what I'm trying to get across.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just a little bit.
Okay, well, thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome. Yeah, listen at the end of the call here. When we're done, I will announce the information to get to Terry's call. Just jot that down. Make sure you follow through on that. And
okay,
we'll talk to
I will.
You on Thursday
thank you.
Night. You're welcome.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
All right, let's go. We got another caller here. Let's go to 513. You're unmuted for your question.
Yes, thank you. I am just trying to move forward on a case. There's a third-party debt collector that's trying to collect a debt, and what happened was, I believe it was Citibank. I did have a credit card with them, and I got scammed. There was a contractor that was going to put a roof and buy some supplies for my roof, and I gave him my credit card, but he ended up putting the product, the shingles, on somebody else's roof. So okay. I called my credit card company. This happened about 3 years ago, and they said, I said, don't let this go through. I got scammed. They said, you have to pay because you let him use your credit card. I said, well, I didn't tell him to put the shingles on somebody else's roof. I paid for it to come to me. So anyway, it started off on the wrong foot. I did call the police department, and they said, oh, this happens a lot. So I did do that. And now this third-party debt collector is trying to collect the debt and bring it into court. So I was just trying to figure out, you know, how and what even to do as far as that goes, because I never did get the product, and I don't feel I owe it. And they're trying to say both the credit card company, I guess they sold it off to this debt collector.
Okay, couple questions. Was there ever a police report made on it?
I did do a police report. I need to get a copy of that.
I was just going to say, you're going to want a secure copy of that.
Okay.
That's going to be one of the first things you want to do. Second of all, who is the debt collector that's trying to collect the money?
I don't have it in front of me. I'm trying to remember the name of it. It's a pretty big company there. One of the larger ones.
Well, there's
out
lots
there.
Of those. Yeah.
I think it's like SMM, MSM or something like that. SMS or...
Midland Credit Management?
Yeah, that's it. Midland Credit Management, yes.
They're the ones I'm getting a check from this week in settlement.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well.
Now, Terry, you're just echoing off in the background. We can't hear you.
They are down the line. So they pay for
it. Yeah. Terry, we're not catching you. It's like you're way away from your phone.
Is she even talking to us?
Yeah, she uses a Bluetooth, and if she gets too far away from her phone, it just doesn't work.
Oh, yeah, it's no good. Gotcha.
Yeah, Terry? Yeah, see, her Bluetooth stuff. Let's just go on the
phone. Technology
is
wonderful when it works, of course.
Yeah, and when it doesn't, well, okay.
Not so much.
Yeah. Sir, are you a member of the website?
Yes, I am.
You are. Okay.
Yes, I am, but the problem is I'm supposed to go into court already on Monday. So
you're supposed to go to court on Monday? On next Monday?
Right. Yes.
And what is the purpose of the court situation
well,
Monday? Is it a trial, a hearing, what?
Yeah, it's a trial.
Oh. Yeah, you're way deep in this. Have you got any kind of a good excuse to get a continuance, where you could put something in and get a continuance?
Yeah, I mean, I'm out of town traveling with work right now.
No, that's
a good one. Yeah, that's very good.
Yeah. Terry, you disappeared, by the way, so we never heard anything you said before.
Yeah,
I was trying to come back in the house. My husband just got home, and my Bluetooth kicked out.
Yeah, it sure did. Okay, anyway, for this gentleman, with you facing this trial, I put a motion for continuance into the court that your employment at this late date, your employer has stated you must be out of town next Monday, work related, and will be unable to attend the court hearing. You were given, short notice of it, and asked for at least a 30-day enlargement of time for the next hearing.
Okay.
But you got to give the court a reason, and you need
you write
you
that
need
down.
Do
make
it.
Sure you write it down, buddy.
Yeah, and you need to do it like tomorrow.
Okay.
And get gotcha. what you're trying to do is just buy some time so we can help you deal with some things a little bit. Figure information on where you are, because you're
okay.
Right down at the not too good a spot.
Yeah, Midland.
To be honest with
you. You can whoop Midland's butt, but you need the time to do it. And right now you're not prepared to do it. But just because they're big doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. Now, how long has this been going on? How long ago was it that you were served on this?
I was served a couple months ago, and then actually I went to court, and Midland did not go to court, so I just asked for it to be dismissed, and the judge says, "Oh, no, we're just going to give them some time." So
what
I was
the hell?
Pretty bummed.
No, that
yeah.
shouldn't
yeah.
happen.
That.
Yeah, that shouldn't
that
happen.
That never
Correct.
Happened.
What yeah. state are you in?
Kentucky.
Yeah.
Well, that's why.
Mm.
Yeah. Well, anyway, you need to get that in, telling them it's beyond your control, that you're required because of your employment to on short notice to be out of town next week.
Okay.
And you ask the court for at least a 30-day extension.
Okay. Do I send a copy of it also to the third-party debt collector?
Yes, you send that to their attorneys.
Okay.
Yep, you file one with the court, and you file an exact copy with the other side.
And they are not a third-party debt collector. They are a down-the-line buyer. So don't refer to them as that. They're not a debt collector.
Yeah. Well, that's getting into stuff that he doesn't understand yet, Terry. But
this
is part of the stuff that we can educate you in.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, no, I understand that they bought the debt. I do understand that.
Yeah, but there's more information to that. Yeah.
Yeah, because they don't buy debt. They just buy fragmented data. You know, but you need that continuance so that you have time to get your counterattack.
Right.
Put together.
Sure. Okay.
Well, you got your plan there, and keep an ear open. Well, hang on, Terry. At the end of the call here, which will be shortly, I will be giving Terry's information on how to get to her call on Thursday night so that you can get to us on a weekly basis and get answers and some help.
That sounds real good.
Okay, Terry, sorry to interrupt. But
That's what I was going to say. For him to make sure he waits for that information.
Right, right. Okay, we got you covered for the moment.
Thank you.
You bet. You're welcome. Okay. Well, you know what? I don't see any other hands up. I don't see any other hands up. So I think that's an indication that we've taken all the calls that we're going to take tonight. So. Anyway, we've had a somewhat active night, which is good. I mean, that's why we're here. We did sit here with our thumb in our mouth, sucking on it like a lollipop. I'm not generally in that kind of a mood.
Mood?
But,
yeah, me neither.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, this is very honestly, Jesse, related to what you said before. This has been good for me tonight, the interaction. Getting back in things, it helps me mentally because there's mental issues with
mental exercises,
there's trying to put some things together here. It's a very slow and arduous process at times. So anyway, want to thank everybody for joining us. Now, as to Terry's call, all you people that need that, if you want to get the access to Terry's call, you need to send an email to Queen Song Bird. That's one word, Queen Song Bird at gmail.com. In the subject line, simply put, please put me on the list. That's all you need to do. And she will send you an email back with the information on her call, the time, the phone number, the PIN, the whole works on how to get on her call. She's not going to send that information out every week. She's going to send it to you one time, which means that you need to take and write that information down somewhere where you keep your important, you know, names, addresses, phone numbers, what have you. And then be sure to jump on those calls. I'm on those calls. Terry's on the calls. And we've been doing these things for years, so we're here to try and help everybody on a weekly basis as well as a monthly basis. But that's the way it works. queensongbird@gmail.com. Please put me on the list. It's that simple. All right, Mr. Jesse, I'm going to turn it over to you for the last word as usual.
Yeah, I just wanted to thank you, man. Like I said, last week was odd for all of us. First time in like 13 years you weren't around. So, you know, it's kind of odd, buddy. Glad to have you back, honest. It really was. I know we've been talking, on a personal level, but Jesus. You weren't on the call. I'm like, shit, I feel like something's wrong. Like you died or something. I don't know.
just weird, man. Very weird.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm glad to have you, buddy, and I'm glad you're feeling better and all that good stuff. So.
Thank you.
Anyway, guys, thank you. Yeah, man. And I'll see you in a couple of days, Dave. But anyway.
Yep.
Guys, God bless everybody. Thank you for joining us. We really do appreciate you guys. And, you know, as I always say, prepare. Things are just going to start getting bad here. We're just barely nipping the surface. And I think the shit's going to hit the fan pretty bad here pretty soon. And
agreed.
You got to kind of be prepared. You know, we warned everybody way back in the day, and nobody seemed to listen for whatever reason. And then the next thing you know, we have 700 people calling every week and wondering what the hell's going on. And, you know, it makes you wonder, like, don't you listen to us for a year before all this happened, you know? And anyway.
Where have you been, right?
Yeah. You know, I mean, we're glad we can help everybody. As Dave said, this is what we do. We've been doing it selflessly for many, many years. And, you know, it's something that we hope in the end helps as many people as we can. But we're telling everybody, be prepared, study up, get ready. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. And it's not too far away. So, anyway, our next webinar is when, Terry? I forgot. Because I'm doing it. I forgot when the hell I'm doing it.
Is tomorrow.
It the 14th or something? No. Is it tomorrow? Who's doing tomorrow?
Me.
Okay. So you're doing it. So tell everybody what you're doing. Because I forgot. I'm doing the next one. That's
protecting
right.
Protecting your money. Protecting the money, which is the thing you want to do before they start suing you.
Yeah,
exactly.
John, yeah. Funny enough, I've been scanning the whole entire time we've been on this phone. I've been scanning stuff for Gina. How does that tell you? Yeah, trying
there
to get everything done, you know? Yeah.
Yep.
So anyway, guys, again, God bless everybody. 3 o'clock tomorrow, John will be here. And then the next one I got, and then Terry's got the one after that, I believe. And we're golden. So we'll have everything we need going. But again, what lies in your debt? Good join, guys. Start learning, start studying, start getting your ducks in a row, because what's around the corner is not going to be any fun for anybody, I promise you.
It's gonna
I'm done, David.
Time.
We're good. Yeah, man.
All righty.
Good.
Well, again, I want to thank everybody that joined us tonight, and we will see you next time around, and John's going to be with us at 3 o'clock Eastern tomorrow to show you how to protect your money. And he's really good at that stuff, so that's something that you want to pay attention to. And if you got questions, he's a wealth of information when it comes to that, so take advantage of it.
Especially if you've got big debts that you know you're going to have to default on, or maybe you have already during COVID, but it hasn't caught up to you yet, now is the time you want to pay attention to protecting the assets you do have.
Yep.
Yeah, because those debt collectors are just like, you know, during the height of the pandemic, and you'd see they come up and smack someone from behind the head, knock them down, and the whole crowd comes and, like, strips off all the clothes and shoes and socks, and they just leave a naked, bloody person in the street. That's what debt collectors do.
Exactly.
When one comes after you, the other ones all come, and they pile on, and, you know, they leave your carcass there in the street.
Yep. Don't let it happen. Prepare ahead of time.
Prepare. Prepare for battle.
Yep.
Yes.
All right. Good night,
That's
everybody.
What we're here for. Good night.
Time to
David.
Good night,
all right, guys. Have a great night. David, I'll see you. I'll call you tomorrow when I get over there. How's that?
Yep. Hey, sounds good.
All right, buddy. Yeah, man. You have a good night. Appreciate
good night,
guys.
Everybody.
Thank you. All right, guys.
Good night.
Good night.